This morning in God's Word to Matthew and to chapter 13, Matthew's Gospel and chapter 13. It was good to be invited and I was glad to be able to come. It was even better to be said, will you make it a harvest thing? Two reasons. Firstly, there is nothing I dread more than speaking as an occasional speaker than choosing what to speak on. How do you choose? There is a whole Bible before you, and how do you pick one passage? And what do people think of the choice you make? You choose something because it had spoken to you, and they think you're choosing it because you're accusing them of something, and it's so difficult. But harvest. Well, it was a simple choice then, and it makes it easy to pick what to speak on. Also, harvest is a time of thanksgiving. It is a time to come and to praise our God. Isn't it a good thing to stop and to say thank you? When we have the Sunday school party in Castle, sometimes I get left with the arduous task of sitting on a table of boys. And they're excited, and they're over-eager, and they're full of sugar. And, you know, you say to them, look, when the ladies come round with the food, you say thank you. I let them know a secret. If you say thank you, they'll come a second time. If you're rude to them, they probably won't come back as quickly. But if you say thank you and you're polite, they'll come back. But isn't it a good thing to stop and to give thanks? And the Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It's a good thing. But we live in a busy world. We live in a busy world where it is hard to stop and to pause. We don't get moments of peace anymore. If we're driving in the car with the radio on or something like that, or if we're in the house, there's the TV or the children or the husband or wife, or there's always something going on. You walk around the supermarket and the music is blaring out at you, and everywhere you go there is something. Moments of peace are few and far between. But to stop and to be thankful, to give thanks to God, what a wonderful opportunity. But you know, when you stop and you pause, questions will come into your mind. God is good. So why, if God is good, is there so much that is wrong in this world? It's a good question, isn't it? It's a hard question. Harvest comes and harvest passes. And in 12 months' time, the Lord willing, you will be here and you will have a harvest service again. And where's it all going to? We have these reminders, don't we? These annual events that come up and we say, is it harvest again already? My, how time flies. Where has it gone to? But never mind where has it gone to. Where is it going to? Where are things heading? These kind of questions, when we pause and we stop and we think, then they come to our minds. Well, we have Matthew chapter 13 before us. And we have this parable of our Lord. We'll read it again, beginning in verse 24. The Lord Jesus speaking put a parable forth to him, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came, and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto him, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn." Well, our Lord speaks more parables and sends a multitude away, and then we read his explanation earlier. We won't read it again now. But we have this parable. I like to imagine, I'm something of an imaginative person, I like to imagine that our Lord was stood at harvest time, that amongst the multitude were men with their scythes and harvesting implements. I like to imagine, the Bible doesn't tell us and we can't know, but there were farmers amongst that crowd. Men who worked in the fields and who grew their own food. I don't know if any of you are growers. I don't know if you labour in allotments or harvest fields. I've no idea. I confess, I struggle to grow grass on the lawn. That's the limit of my ability. But you know, there may have been those folk there, and harvest would mean something special to them. But they didn't have iPods or MP3 players or portable games consoles or radios and stereos. They didn't have combine harvesters, and you know, the work would have been long and slow and quiet. You wouldn't be stood next to anyone to chat to them while you were spinning your scythe around. You could hurt somebody, and so there'd be distance, and you'd be alone with your own thoughts. And they might think these questions we've thought of. Well, God is so good, look at this wheat he's given us, they would say. But what about folk who starve? Is God only good in some places and at some times? Or is God all the time good? What about those people, they might have said, in the city? They might have known in events like our Lord tells of the Tower of Siloam that fell. What about people who suffer like that? Is God not good to them? They might have asked questions like, well, where's this world going? The young boys, they may have wanted to move away into the city. I was harvesting last year and I'm harvesting this year. And where will I ever go? And where will I ever get away? And will I be here forever? And will harvest ever cease? Where is the world going to? Now, our Lord tells a parable like this, and I believe it answers just those sorts of questions. Now, the parable is a very simple one. There's a man with a field, and into the field he sows good seed. Wheat will grow. But while everybody's asleep, the man has an enemy. I don't know why he has an enemy. I wouldn't like to guess. But his enemy comes and he sows bad seed. So the grasses and tares will grow in its place. And nobody notices. Up until it shoots forth. And then there comes a point where the grass looks like grass and the wheat looks like wheat. And what's gone on? And the servants come, well, did you use a bad bag of seed? Did you get it from a cheap shop or did you get it from a good shop? Where did you go? Oh no, it's good seed, he says. An enemy has done this. An enemy has come. Well, let's pull up all the grass. No, he says, you'll damage the wheat. We'll wait till the time of harvest. And at the time of harvest, we'll cut it all down, and the reapers will separate it, and they'll put the grass over here, and they'll tie it together in bundles. While the wheat is drying out in the sun, they'll tie it in bundles, and they'll throw it for burning. We'll use it for fuel through the winter. But the wheat, we'll gather the wheat into my barn. It's a simple parable. It's the same as will happen in countless places across the UK over this next week. Farmers will go out into their fields and they will chop down the wheat and they will take the good and they will put it into their barns. And they will take the bad and they'll use it for burning or for silage or for something else. It will be separated. It's a simple story. Well, what does it mean? What's its purpose? The first thing I'd like to say is that there were two seeds. The farmer, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he spreads a good seed in the field. The field is all the world, the whole globe. And he spreads a good seed. Why is it good? Because it's wheat seed. If you want wheat to grow, you need to use wheat seed. Use carrot seeds and you won't get wheat. It doesn't work that way. If you wish to grow wheat, you use wheat seed. But it's good, not just because it is wheat seed, but it's pure wheat seed. There's nothing else in amongst it. He's been careful. The seed has been sifted and checked, and everything that's in there is proper wheat. No barley seeds, no acorns, no poppies, no roses, just wheat. All wheat. Every single grain is wheat. And so what will it bring forth? Only wheat. That's all. Good seed is pure. It's pure. I have a colleague at work who tries to grow things. And she tried to grow pumpkins. She ends up with marrows. Well, she wanted to use it for Halloween. I was happy she ended up with marrows, I have to confess. I'm not a fan of carving pumpkins. But it was of no use to her. giant marrows instead of pumpkins. When you want to grow something, you need good seed. And the good seed is the Word of God. It is this book, the Bible. It is God's good seed. It's pure. Every word of God is pure. There's not a single bad verse in the whole Bible. Not one. Every one of them is good and pure. And every one of them is designed and purposed and planned by God to cause wheat to grow. Fruit for God. Well, what is it? It's believers. It's cause to grow believers. Christians. Now, you may not be a Christian here this morning. You may never yet have trusted in the Lord Jesus. This book is designed to teach you that you must repent of your sins and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every verse of it has that one purpose. That you would be saved. That you would be turned from selfishness and sin and you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you would believe in him and that your sins would be forgiven. But that's not all. If you are a Christian here, every verse of this book is designed that you would grow in your faith and that you would grow into the wheat that God would have you to be. A godly and a fine Christian. There are folk who imagine that, you know, if they say a prayer of repentance and then they can go on living just however they wish. That's not how God would have it. It's not that, you know, well, he's a holy Christian. You know, he likes reading the Bible and praying and that sort of stuff. I'm not such a holy Christian. No, no, no. The Lord Jesus wants all believers to be godly and holy through and through. To seek after him and to grow day by day in grace. And this book is the good seed that will cause it to happen. This book is what we need. It's a good thing that you're gathered on a Sunday morning in God's place under God's word. This is what you need. And it's a good thing when you open it at home and you seek to read. And you may read a chapter or two chapters, or you may only read a verse. But you read. And you learn what God has to say in his word. It's the good seed. But while everyone was sleeping, the enemy comes with the bad seed. It was a type of ryegrass. You know, it's a sort of long, thin grass shoots that grow up with a head on the top. It would look a little like wheat. He comes and he sows it in the night. And what is that? Well, it is the message of the devil. The enemy is the devil. Let's not be unsure about that. The devil is a real person. A serious matter. Not something we mess about with or joke about with. You go into the shops now and we mention Halloween, but you'll see Halloween costumes and you'll see the ridiculous things that people dress up as. And they've no idea. No idea that the evil they're dressing up as is a real evil. Not a cartoon evil. And you know, the devil, he sows his seed in the world as well. What does the devil say? You know, he says all sorts of things. God's seed is pure seed. It has one constant message. The devil has 1,000 messages. Because you know, the devil does not care what you believe. The only thing the devil cares about is what you don't believe. All he is interested in is that you would not believe that you're a sinner. And that you would not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And you would not believe in him. But you know, if you'll believe that if you work hard enough, and you try your best, and you do all that you can, then you'll be okay and get to heaven. And the devil's happy with you believing that. Oh, he's been putting that message about in the world for thousands of years. Or what about the message that God isn't there? God doesn't exist. Seems like a more modern message to many. But you know, the devil puts that message about. There's no God to worry about. They put it on the sides of the buses in London, didn't they? God is probably not there. So don't worry. Probably. Seems an awfully terrible word to use where God is concerned and eternal destiny is concerned. No certainty. But it's a message of the devil. Or he would say to you, well, of course God is there, but God is love. Doesn't it say so in his book? Well, he'll accept you just however you are. He'll receive you just as you are, and he'll sort you all out, and you'll be okay. Or the devil says, well, you don't worry about this life too much, because there's purgatory to come, and there's the next life, and you can deal with your sin then. Or the devil would say, well, you know, there's not just one God, there are many gods, and you can choose your own way, and you can go a different way to God, and a different way to heaven. Or he would say to you, well, you know, don't worry about it now, you're too young. You've got time. You've got time, put it off. Leave it another year. Leave it another day. Or he would say to you, you know, you haven't got enough time now. You're too old. You've left it too late. No good for you. He has 1,000 different messages, you know. I might go further and say there are 7 billion people in the world. He has 7 billion messages. A message for each person. And to keep them from the Lord Jesus Christ. And to keep them from being saved. To keep them from growing in grace. To keep them from becoming the wheat that would be gathered into the barn. To keep them away. What an enemy. What an enemy. 2 different seeds. And you know the difference then is which seed we're listening to. Which seed will spring up in our hearts, in our lives. Which seed will bear fruit in us. Which seed will we give space to and place to. Our Lord tells another parable, doesn't he? About the sower and the different types of soil. And you know some of the seed is pecked up by the birds straight away. It's taken away. Which seed is it in our lives? Which seed is it that sinks into good soil and bears fruit? And which seed is it that's pecked away by the birds? You know, so often the things of this world, they linger with us and they stay with us. And we can remember them. And we can't forget them. And the things of God, we can't get them into our heads. And we can't figure them out. And we can't remember them no matter how we try. But which seed stays? Satan has been sowing this seed since the Garden of Eden. Has God really said? And then a message against God. You won't surely die. You'll be as God. God's mean. He's holding back from you. And you know, ever since Adam and Eve in the garden, men and women and boys and girls have been falling for it. Duped by the enemy. Listening to the wrong message. But there is one good seed. One pure message. This book, the Bible, the gospel message, to trust and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Which message do we respond to? Which seed is in our hearts? Well, you see, the 2 different seeds, they bring forth 2 different shoots. That's the next part of our parable. The 2 seeds grow up side by side, and eventually you can see a difference. They begin to spring up. And the servants, they go and they say, well then, should we get rid of the tares? Should we get rid of the grass? Shall we pluck it all up? I don't know if you ever tried to pluck up a weed in the garden, and you know you begin to tug and you realize the roots are deeper to it than you thought, and before you know it, you're tearing up all around it, and it begins to... That would have done great harm to the wheat. You know, when we look and say, why is evil in this world? Why is there bad? Why is there sin? Why is there wrong? It is the seed of the enemy. But why is it still here? And why doesn't God deal with it? And why hasn't he turned it all around? It is because he would let the wheat grow. He would let the wheat grow. He would let his message go out. And he would see sinners saved. God is patient. He's not willing that any should perish. He is holding back. And he is biding his time. Until the wheat has reached its fullness. Until every single Christian who will ever be saved, from the time of Adam through to the very end of the world, every last one has been saved and has been sanctified. And then, and only then, will come the harvest. And then, and only then, will be the time for separating the tares and the wheat. The two will grow up together. And so we have a world that is a mixed world. A world of great good. I was reading this past week about a historian, Tom Holland, and how he was raised in a Sunday school going home, a church going family. But he turned away from Christianity. He preferred, he said, dinosaurs in ancient Egypt. and he wasn't interested in the Bible, and he thought it was all a load of rubbish. And now he's looked back and he says, well, no, you know, it's different. All the good things in the societies around us, they come from the Bible. All the mercies and the kindnesses, the hospitals and the education systems, and all the many good things we have, they find their root in the Bible. The honesty we find in business, all that is good, it comes from the Bible. He's changed his view. He's seen an evil world, but he's seen there's good in it. And where has the good come from? This seed. This seed. But you know, the two grow together. The two grow side by side. If you are saved, you will not be spirited off and vanished into heaven immediately. That will not happen to you. You will be left in this world. You will grow in this world. You will live in a sinful world. And you know, just as wheat finds it difficult to grow when surrounded by grass, and just as the wheat will be strangled at its roots by the grass, this world will oppress you. And this world will be mean to you. And will be hard toward you because you're wheat and not grass. But you know, you will grow. You will. You will grow side by side. It is God's good pleasure that the wheat would grow. That it would come to fullness. That it would come to its finality. These two shoots are side by side. And you know, the sun shines just as much on the grass as it shines on the wheat. And the rain waters the grass just as much as it waters the wheat. And sometimes it seems to be that the grass gets more of the rain. And sometimes it seems to be that the grass seems to be doing better in the sun. The psalmist, Asaph, he says, well, my foot nearly slipped. I nearly fell from faith. What did it? I saw the wicked prosper. I saw how well the evil in the world were doing, and how hard it was for the righteous. How difficult it was. If you become a Christian, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no promise of an easy life. No promise of it being a gentle road to glory. The Lord speaks of taking up your cross to follow him. He speaks of hardship. And he says of himself that he has nowhere to lay his head. Foxes have holes and the birds have nests. And that's how it will be for the believer. Often having less than others because of their faith. These two shoots grow up side by side. But you know, there were two seeds and two shoots, but there are two ends. And the one day of harvest comes. The one day comes. The farmer, he sends out his servants. The Lord, he sends his angels, and they come to gather. They come to gather, and they go through the field, and they cut it all down. They chop it all down to size, and they separate. The wheat goes on one side. The tares, the weeds, the grass goes on the other side. And the tares are bound together. Bound together. You know, God has promised that in this world, seed time and harvest will continue. And they will continue until the end of this world. And as we gather at a harvest service, we remember that God has kept his promise. Seed time and harvest have continued. But we remember too, he will keep his promise. They will continue only until that day. That great day of the Lord. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of this world as we know it. The day in which the heavens and the earth be rolled up as a scroll, burned with fervent heat, and a new heavens and a new earth will be ushered in. A day of judgment. A day of separating. Our Lord speaks about it often. Very often. He speaks of sheep and goats, you know. And the goats are on the left and the sheep are on the right. And the goats, they're the children of the wicked one. They're the ones who've had the bad seed growth in their hearts. They're the ones who've never trusted in my Lord Jesus. There's a wide multitude of them. They've done many things in life, good things, bad things, all sorts of things. But the one thing they've never done is to repent of their sin and trust on my Lord Jesus. It's the one thing that all of them have got in common. They're cast out. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But the sheep, they are welcomed. Come in. Come into the rest prepared for you. Come in. and the wheat and the tares. The tares are bound, and the tares are burned. Bound and burned. And our Lord says a terrible thing. He says there will be weeping, there will be wailing, there will be gnashing of teeth. It will be an awful thing. An awful thing. And there is nothing more solemn in all the world than the thought of a lost eternity. Nothing more. But it is not all so. The wheat will be gathered in. Gathered in, not just into the barn. But you see how he says, into my barn. It's his. It's his forevermore. And you know, when we talk about Christians and the end of their life, and we talk about them going to glory, they don't go to heaven. They go to his heaven. God's heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ's heaven. Where he is. Folk in the world, they have this wrong conception of heaven. It's a cloudy place and a bright place and a glorious place. Yes, but you know there's no Jesus there. And yet he is all the glory of heaven. He is all the light of it. And he is all the focus of it. And heaven, though it were filled with a multitude of saints, heaven would be nothing without him. And yet heaven with him is everything. Everything. There are these two places, these two ends. And you know, the challenge is there. Which seed is growing up in us? Which seed will we let into our lives, into our hearts? Which seed will we cause to grow? And what will we be at the end? Will we be gathered in as wheat, the children of God? Or will we be gathered as tares, the children of the wicked one? Which will we be? You know, it's a wonderful thought. I'm not much of one for grammar. I'm not much of one for deep learning. But you know, the parable is given in the future tense. The future tense. The Lord says that he will say when the harvest comes. He will. He hasn't said it yet. He hasn't sent the angels yet. The reapers have not come. And the day of separation has not occurred. Yet. It's a future day. A future day. I wouldn't tell you when that day will be. I wouldn't tell you whether you'll have another harvest service or whether this will be your last. But I would tell you this. The day has not come yet. And our Lord speaks and says, if you have ears to hear, then hear. Be careful what seed you are listening to. Be careful what seed will bring fruit in your heart. Be careful to come and to have God's good seed, the good word of God, and be careful to believe it, and be careful to bring forth wheat, and you will be gathered. Gathered into the barn. Gathered into God's heaven. Gathered to joy forevermore. Amen. We'll close by singing a hymn.